Take your Bibles and turn with me tonight in the New Testament to the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 5, as we stand to our feet. 1 Peter, chapter number 5. Begin reading in verse number 8. Of course, the Lord Jesus has given us this precious book, the Bible. It's inspired and it's there for our benefit, to help us, to encourage us, to warn us. We find in verse number 8, the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." The Bible teaches us we have an enemy, an adversary, and he's against us, and he's going to come at us. He walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He comes by your door 1,000 times a day, waiting for you to crack it open just a little bit so he can get his toe in the door. He doesn't like you. He doesn't like me. As a matter of fact, he hates us. Dear friends, he wants to defeat us. So what hope is there? We don't have any power within ourselves. But I love what verse number 10 says. Let the God of all grace, isn't that wonderful? Let the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. And I want to preach on this thought tonight. Let God. Let God. Let's pray. Father, please have your way. In the next few moments we have together, may it, Lord, be beneficial to our lives. May it be something that will help us, strengthen us, encourage us, help us to go forward. Lord, help us to realize that the enemy is real. But Lord, help us to realize that you have greater power than our enemy. We can trust you, and we know that all things will be well. Speak to us through thy word tonight, and may thy will be done. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Be seated. Just as sure as the enemy has a plan to try to defeat us, to try to come by our door, to try to find an opening in our lives, the Bible says that we're to resist steadfast in the faith. In other words, we are to continually resist the devil with our lives. The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you. But a lot of times, we open the door wide for the devil to come in, don't we? Sometimes we make invitations. You know, you say, what do you mean? Just imagine, if you will, if you have a problem with alcohol. You know, you go into the bar, you say, I'm not going in there to drink, I'm just going in to see old friends. But you're opening the door. If you have a problem with lust, and you say, well, I'm not going to watch bad things on TV. You know, it's not really bad, but it's bad enough. You open the door. There's all kinds of things, you know. You say, well, you know, I gave up that a long time ago, but then you run around with friends that do it. You open the door. And sometimes it's not that the devil pushes the door open, it's that we say, come on in, devil. He's a real enemy. He knows our weaknesses. He's our adversary, and he desires to destroy our lives. Sometimes those weaknesses aren't these mortal sins that we talk about, these immoral sins that we talk about. Sometimes it's things like the laziness or the not doing what we're supposed to do. You understand? It's not always doing what we're not supposed to do. Sometimes it's not doing what we are supposed to do. And he'll give us all kinds of excuses, won't he? I find Wednesday nights is a night when people get Wednesday-itis a lot of times. You understand what I'm saying? Some people have all the time itis. I don't know. But we know that we have to be vigilant because our adversary is walking about seeking whom he may devour. And the Bible says we're to resist these things. In other words, if you have a problem with certain things, you just don't open the door up. You don't go around those things. You don't make the way, you don't make the possibility easy to happen. You resist the devil in these ways, and we're to resist in the faith and to understand these things, that these afflictions are going to come to us here in this world. But the Bible says the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect. In other words, complete, mature. We have everything we need to fight the devil because we're complete in Christ. And what we need to do is we need to let God do a work in our lives. And there's three things that's given to us here, and I'm going to talk to you about them for the next few minutes. And hopefully we'll just grab a hold of this and we'll see that while we have an enemy, while we have an adversary, we have an advocate. We have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus, our Lord. And while Satan is fighting against us, the Lord Jesus is fighting for us. And we've been made perfect by the God of all grace. We have been made complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight we need to let God establish, strengthen, and settle us. And I want to look at these three things very quickly tonight. First of all, we need to let God establish us. Let God establish us. This means to turn resolutely in a certain direction. We need to let God be the guide of our lives. We need to let God establish us in our faith. We need to let God put us on the right direction and on the right course. You remember what David said in the Psalms? I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and he heard my cry. And do you remember what he says? He pulled me up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. God has a plan for our lives. He has a direction that he wants us to go in, and we need to go God's way. We need to let God have his way with the direction of our lives. So many times we've made up our direction. So many times we've decided God's will for our life without consulting God. Well, who knows God's will for our life better than God? God knows his will for my life better than I know his will for my life. So you say, well, yeah, but it's your life. That's right. But if we surrender to God, then we've already said yes to whatever it is he wants us to do. And he wants to establish us in the faith. You remember what the Bible says? Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, and he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast and movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And that's what this word establish means, to be steadfast. It means to be set in our ways. Now, being set in our ways means to be set upon the convictions of the Bible. A lot of us are set in our ways, and our ways aren't right. We need to be set in God's ways. I guess that's the best way to put it, right? I know a lot of people, you know, well, they sure are set in their ways. Only problem is their way's the wrong way. And God's way's the right way. And so we've made the course for our life instead of letting God make the course for life. And boy, when you start surrendering to God, there's adventures that are out there that you just can't imagine how great they are. You can't imagine how wonderful and glorious the things are that God has for our lives. And when he establishes that, when he establishes our life, when he turns us in the direction he wants us to go in, and we go that way, we're headed the greatest way that our life could ever take us. And we need to let God establish us. Because if we don't, the enemy is going to be coming through the door. The enemy's going to find that opening. You want to know why? Because we're not as close to God as we're supposed to be. And when we're not walking as close to God as we ought to, it's opening up the door for the enemy to step in. Let God establish us. Number two, let God strengthen us. Let God strengthen us. The Bible says, the God of all grace make you perfect, complete. Establish, strengthen, settle you. Strengthen. It, This means to confirm in spiritual knowledge and power. In other words, we know where our strength comes from. We know why we're doing what we're doing. We understand why we're established, why we're going in a certain direction, and we find that we get our strength from God to do His will with our life. Does that make sense? God says, I've got a plan, I've got a course, I've got a direction for you, but you can't make it on your own. I'm going to have to strengthen you. I'm going to have to give you what it is that you need to accomplish this. That's why Paul, when he's writing to the church at Philippi, he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Paul was in prison. Paul was fighting the battles. Paul's life many times were hanging in the balance. And how could he keep on going? Because his strength was not his own. His strength was the strength that he got from the Lord God Almighty. Dear friends, that's the reason Paul was willing to stand face to face with the mighty kings and the mighty leaders and the jailers. And he was willing to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. After he was made perfect in Christ, when he was made complete in Christ, he said, I'm going God's way. And God established his going. He set him on a new course. And boy, Paul's life, man, when we look at it, look at how many times he was beaten, bruised, shipwrecked. Go read in the book of Corinthians all the things that went against Paul. And if there was ever a man that could have said, you know, I'm going to throw in the towel. It's just too much and my old mortal body can't handle it. My life cannot handle it. I can't go on. But we find he's in prison and he's writing to the church of Philippi and he says, I can do all things through Christ. Got down to the end of his days and we believe that his eyesight was so poorly that he couldn't hardly read and he had others to help him in reading and certain things like that. But he says, I can do all things through Christ. And we find all kinds of excuses not to do things. When Paul really probably could have at least sounded legitimate in his excuse. You know what I learned from the life of Paul? There are no excuses. If God wants us to do it, there's no excuse not to. Amen. You say, well, I can't do it. That's right, you can't, but Christ in you can. Amen. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notice what the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3. The Bible says, Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, he says, wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. The Bible says Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says, This is what I'm saying. I'm saying that I'm asking that God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in your inner man. That's where our battles are, is in the inner man. That's where we have to feed the spiritual man. There's two natures that we have. Do y'all know that? You got saved. You have a spiritual nature. But that carnal nature is still there. And that carnal nature is real. And then, you know, you've heard the story of the old Indian that said, there's a good dog on one shoulder and a bad dog on the other shoulder. And they're always fighting each other. And he said, sometimes the good dog would win and sometimes the evil dog would win. And somebody said, well, how come sometimes the good dog would win and sometimes the evil dog would win? He said, it depends on which one I feed the most. And when we feed the carnal nature, then our carnal nature is going to win. That's why we need to be in the Word of God every day of our lives. That's where your strength comes from. That's where you're going to find grace for another day. That's where you're going to see that when things don't go the way you expected, that you can be safe and secure in the Lord Jesus Christ and know that He's going to give you what you need to make it through the storms that are there. When we feed the carnal nature, you know what we're going to do? Well, I just can't understand why God does this. And we try to blame everything on the Lord. But when we're feeding the spiritual nature, we begin to realize that these things are just a part of life, and God's given us the strength to make it through it. And if He doesn't give us the strength to make it through it and our life is taken from us, then He's going to give us the glory to bring us on home and to be with Him. Strengthen us. Let God strengthen us. I can do all things through Christ. Peter's saying, there's an enemy. But Peter's saying, there's a friend in Jesus. Peter's saying, there's an adversary. But he's also saying there's an advocate. Peter's saying there's somebody that wants to defeat you. But he says there's somebody that wants you to have the victory. He'll strengthen you. He'll set you on the course He wants you to go. And then He'll strengthen you. There's so many weak and anemic Christians in the world today. The Bible says in the book of Colossians chapter number 1, and verse number 10, this is where Paul was praying for the church at Colossae, this church that he had never been to before. And he says in verse number 9, he says, "For this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness." Isn't that saying what we've already said? We're going to fight the battles. We're going to face the things. But Paul says, "I'm going to pray for you, church at Colossae, and I'm going to pray for other believers that they will be strengthened with all might according to His, God's glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering." We all have to fight this thing with patience and long-suffering. It's like in our prayer life, we want it answered now. We don't want bad things to happen. Well, can I help you to understand something about life? Bad things just happen. These bodies give way. People have sinful natures. And life happens. And when life happens, sometimes it's bad things. Bad people do bad things, and it affects good people trying to do good things. And sometimes sicknesses come. That's part of life. But when we're strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, He'll give us the patience and the long-suffering to make us through, to help us to make it through these times. You want to know why? He's established our going. He's got us on the course. And He says, "I've got the strength for you to get done what I want you to get done." We need to let Him strengthen us. We need to get in that place where we're letting Him guide our lives and give us the strength day by day. We have this adversary, the devil. And the Bible says that we're to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to fight against the wiles of the devil. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The Bible helps us understand we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, things. We wrestle against these things that sometimes we just don't see them, but they're there. How in the world can we win this battle? Through the Lord who strengthens us. How could Paul be in prison, writing to the church at Philippi, and saying, "I can do all things through Christ," while he's in prison? How can he bring glory to God? And read his prison epistles, and read the great grace that's in his life. How can that be there? Because his strength was not coming from himself. I dare say Paul became a very weak man as far as the physical nature. His body had to be scarred. I'm sorry, I don't know this, but I can imagine he's probably ugly to look at. Not because he was born with ugliness, but because his body had been so beaten, so used and abused for the cause of Christ. And he closes this letter to the Philippian church and says, I can do all things through Christ. I can keep going through Christ. He's writing to Timothy. And as he writes to Timothy, he says, hey, my life's going to be over soon. The time of my departure, it is at hand. But I want you to know, God's waiting on me and he has my rewards. And you too can have these rewards if you'll live your life in the strength that Christ has for you. Let God establish, let God strengthen, and then let God settle you. This word settle simply means that you have a foundation. There's to lay a basis for, to consolidate. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, as you're strengthened, you need to realize that your life is being built upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 2, you remember one year it was our theme. It says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth those that are His. The foundation of God standeth sure. God is building a life with you. If you belong to Him, God has a life, a plan for you. He's trying to set you on the direction. He's going to strengthen you. And He's saying your foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you can continue on. Is because you're building upon the foundation that Christ laid when He came to this world. And this foundation is sure. The earth may quake and the floods may come and the rivers may rise, but this foundation is safe and secure. The winds may blow hard against it, but it will not be moved. We need to let God do these things in our lives. The house built on a true foundation will stand, won't it? But the house built upon the sand, the winds will come. The rains will fall. That house will fall, and great will be the fall of it. You want to know why many times our lives, even as Christians, fall apart? It's because while we have Christ as the foundation, we begin to build our life upon the sand instead of upon the true foundation. Christ is there because we belong to Him. You say, well, don't we automatically? No. Just because Christ is our Savior doesn't mean we start building upon Him. Sometimes we go back and we build up on the old life. Sometimes you don't even see it happening. What is it they call that? They're talking about what's happening on our coasts. Erosion. There's a great problem with it. And I believe a lot of Christian lives are like this. They look good. They dress right, carry the Bible, say amen, know the right words, but there's erosion because they're building their life for others to see, and they want them to see me instead of seeing Him. And if that's the case, those people's life is going to fall apart. You see what I'm saying? We need to let God establish us, strengthen us, and settle us. I had all kinds of things I was going to say about this, but I'm just going to give you a list of four things about being settled. Help you to understand this. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, verse 14, that we be henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro and be carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. When we're settled on the right foundation, we won't we won't adhere to every wind of doctrine. We'll be settled in the truths of God's Word. And there's four areas of our life where we'll be settled in for sure if we're building our life on the right foundation. We'll be settled, number one, in our salvation. In our salvation. You'll know that you're saved. Number two, you'll be settled in your security. You'll have peace in your heart. You'll say nothing can take it away from me. Because the Lord saved me by grace through faith. I didn't do anything for it. I trusted Him. And the only way for me to die and go to hell is for His blood to lose its power. We could go through a great deal of things about this, and I could back this up with so many verses, but you've heard every one of them. I've preached on it so many times around here. Number three, we ought to be settled in our sanctification. We ought to have a desire to be set apart for the Lord. And we ought to be being set apart because we're settled on the right foundation. We ought to have a desire to be sanctified. That word sanctified just a few years ago became an outlawed word in most Baptist churches. And I'm going to tell you why. Because they decided they wanted to start compromising with the world. And they wanted to try to start just not being as strong on the standards of God's Word. And so sanctified was something they didn't want preached on. But my Bible says we're to be a sanctified people, set apart for God's use. And dear friends, if we're ever going to be any count for God, we have to be sanctified. And then finally, we ought to be settled in our service. That doesn't mean that God can't call us to a different field or do something different, but that we know that we're willing to serve God with our lives in whatever direction, whatever way He wants us to serve Him. As I've already said, our answer is already yes to whatever God says He wants us to do. Let God. Peter was writing. He was helping us to see some things about the elders, about the younger, about the humility that ought to be a part of our lives. He was warning us about the devil and how we ought to resist him. But he said, here's how you're going to make it. The God of all grace is going to make you perfect. In other words, when you trust Him, you become complete. Now you're to mature, and here's how you mature. You let God establish you, strengthen you, settle you. Let God give you the direction. Let God give you the strength, and build upon the right foundation. And as you continue to build, God will exalt you in due time. Humble yourselves. Just a few verses before this says, humble yourself. Humble yourselves. Therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. When God establishes, strengthens, and settles us, we don't have to be there saying, look at me, look at me, look at me. We'll be busy saying, look at Him, look at Him, look at Him. And by the way, when we stand before Him, He'll exalt us. He'll give us the crown that we deserve. None of us really deserve it. But He'll give us a crown for our faithfulness because we let Him establish us, strengthen us, and settle us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time that we've had to look into Thy Word. I pray tonight it's been a help to us. I pray tonight we found answers. And Lord, we've let the God of all grace, we're going to let Him establish us, strengthen us, and settle us. We're going to let Him do the work in our life that needs to be done. Lord, would You be with each one of us, Lord, as I come to this point. Lord, may we make decisions that will help us to say yes to whatever Your will is. Maybe, Lord, tonight that we need to seek Your direction. And let You establish us, establish our going. Maybe tonight we know what You have for us, but we need to find Your strength to do it. Maybe tonight we've found that direction. We realize we need Your strength, but help us to be sure that we build upon the right foundation, that we're settled in our faith about our salvation and our security and our sanctification and our service. And we realize that this foundation we're building upon is not our foundation, but it's the foundation of Christ. Not a foundation of sand, but a foundation of the rock, Lord Jesus. Would you help us to be obedient to you during this time of invitation? In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen.